This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry.
Space, the final frontier.
Space? Oh, that old final frontier. It's the Star Trek, of course, announcement that space is the final frontier. And what if there were 32 little objects in space that could actually apply to Earth?
Little objects?
To be considered planets. Well, that's what was announced yesterday. Miles O'Brien is joining us, freelance science and aviation reporter. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, John. I'm on Earth this morning.
Good for you. And scientists announced the existence of 32 so-called exoplanets. First of all, who are the scientists, and when do these little exoplanets get to actually graduate and be planets?
One of these days, we'll get them upgraded, yes. It's just a matter of frequent flyer mileage. These are European Space Agency scientists who have used a telescope in Chile and rigged it up with a spectrograph device, which literally can measure the dimness of a star as a planet moves in front of it. You can imagine. It's like
right.
A tiny little speck of dust by comparison.
And in this particular case, they're measuring the reflection of the sun because presumably they're caught in the gravitational pull of the sun. That's why they're being called members of our own solar system.
Well, it's not our solar system. These are other solar systems, and that's what makes it really exciting. You know,
great.
We're talking now about there are about 400 of these so-called exoplanets now in the catalog. And you have to ask yourself a question. If we keep looking and finding so many of these, and we have very rudimentary capability for doing it, could we possibly be alone in the universe?
All right, so now explain how they're detecting these, because they're not looking for reflection of the sun. They're looking for reflection of other stars or shadows passing in front of various stars that indicate that something's actually moving around there. Where are these exoplanets located?
Well, we're talking, the nearest one is probably about 10 light years away. Some of them are a lot farther away than that. And we're still finding planets that are, a little bit bigger than Earth. Like, I think the smallest one they've discovered so far of the 400 in the catalog is about 5 times the size of Earth. But as the instruments get better and better, and NASA has an instrument out there called Kepler, which is about 11 million miles away and is going to be able to look at even smaller planets, as they get small, the capability gets better. One of these days, you're going to be able to find a planet that is in just the right orbit, just the right size for liquid water, and could be another kind of Earth.
Now,
that
Miles,
would be kind of exciting.
That would be exciting. Miles, you mentioned spectral information is part of how they're detecting these planets. Can they tell the chemical composition and possibly detect things like oxygen and water vapor from spectral data?
Yes, you obviously paid attention in your physics class. Yes, they do
sure
have
did.
That capability. They can actually, the light signature, the reflected light signature with a proper spectrograph can tell you a lot about what's on the surface, whether it's hard surface, whether there's water there, whether there's various compounds like hydrogen and helium and nitrogen and all the things that are the ingredients for life as we know it. So they're getting to the point where we might find this pale blue dot very distant, looking back at us. The question is, what do we do then?
And 32 were announced yesterday, even though many more are known. Why are these 32 different in the last few seconds?
Well, they're getting smaller and smaller and more Earth-like as we go along.
I
so
see.
We're getting closer to the Holy Grail.
All right. 32 so-called exoplanets, which may be sisters or brothers to planet Earth here in this solar system. Miles O'Brien, freelance science and aviation reporter. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.